Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The music of Frank Sinatra and other great artists of his generation is coming to Knoxville November 6th. And the visit involves a 10-piece band. Let's go in depth with Steve Lippia of Las Vegas, Nevada.
Well, Steve, there's a whole lot of people looking forward to you and your group coming to Knoxville.
Well, that's great to know because we're really looking forward to it. In fact, my wife is accompanying me, and it's been a little while since, I think it's been a little over a year since I've been to Iowa, so I'm really looking forward to it.
And you live in Las Vegas now, right?
I do. I've lived here for almost 15 years.
Tell people a little bit about your music, the kinds of things that you and your band, or should I say orchestra, will play.
Band is fine. The show is a celebration of the music of Frank Sinatra. And so it's always hard to separate the man from the music. I do talk a little bit about Frank Sinatra from stage between the songs, but it's mostly about the music. I think if you look overall at his impact on our culture, it's certainly the biggest one was more his music than his rather interesting life. But they are somewhat inseparable. And, you know, this is a man who was with us for basically three generations and who recorded 1,500 songs, was in television, movies, had his own variety show, had a radio show, traveled the world performing thousands of concerts, and over the years, I'm sure, was seen by millions of people. He had a huge impact on our culture, not just because of how pervasive he was, but because of the quality of his art, his approach to this music known as the standards. So we're all there that night to celebrate this great musical legacy, to share the music with audiences, and just a kind of, in a very authentic and sincere way, to recreate this music for music lovers.
Well, could you name a few of the songs that you just might sing to prompt people's memories?
Sure. The Summer Wind, Fly Me to the Moon, I've Got the World on a String. I don't want to give it all away, but
all right.
We close with a couple of Barnstormers. And I sneak in a couple of songs that while Frank Sinatra recorded them, these are versions of some of his colleagues that I sneak in. I talk about his relationship with these other artists a little bit, you know, his friendship and respect for them. And we do sneak in a couple of non-Sinatra tunes, even though he did record them, as I mentioned. These are the versions of the other artists who he so respected. Their versions, I think, eclipsed his own. He had a way of recording music, of performing music that almost seemed to eclipse all other versions. But there, you know, other artists had that same ability, and so we pay homage to that as well. But they'll hear other songs as well. Some of them maybe not quite as well known. I wouldn't call them side Bs, but I like to sneak in some songs that you recognize and you like probably, but that you wouldn't think of them among his top 100 hits. Songs like Let Me Try Again, and Come Dance With Me, and Saturday Night is the Loneliest Night of the Week, Day In and Day Out. These are great songs, and most people go, yeah, I know that one, I heard that. There are certain songs that people request, and literally I can almost reduce it to a list of about four or five tunes that almost everybody, if they're going to ask for a specific song, by and large, that those four or five songs are the ones that people ask for.
More In Depth after this. I continued my conversation with Steve Lippia.
Well, and more than Sinatra himself, too, it's the songs. I mean, those songs will be sung for, I don't know, another 100 years or more, won't they?
I believe so, definitely. And, you know, it's great to see people like Harry Connick Jr. and Michael Bublé and Diana Krall and Jane Monheit, John Pizzarelli and others who keep this music in the forefront. And I consider myself, you know, one of those people who... You know, I'd never like to say that this, you know, quote unquote, keeping it alive. That almost sounds like you're resuscitating a dying victim. But to reintroduce the music to a younger generation and allow people to enjoy something that maybe they wouldn't have been exposed to were it not for people like Michael Bublé.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, all of these people that you just mentioned, I guess I don't know all of them, but it's just still amazing that their voices ring out loud and clear and beautifully. And to me, a lot of contemporary music is overproduced. You can hardly even hear the voices.
Oh, it's amazing. My wife and I go to concerts. Living in Vegas, we have just about every show conceivable comes through here. And not just because I'm a singer, but I'm a consumer, you know, and I remember listening to the studio versions of a lot of songs, and these artists will come through, and the vocalists, whether it's the harmonies or just the lead singer, are absolutely buried in the mix because they're so worried about having to blast people in order to win them over that people think that loud and that, you know, that obnoxious energy is somehow equivalent to good energy. And, you know, you can still play the music pretty loud. It's, you know, the volume is a big part of a lot of contemporary music, you know, that people want to feel that music. But it's amazing how, you're right, how so many vocals are just buried these days. It's more about staging and lights and choreography and all the things around the music. The music is almost taking a back seat now to production.
Well, but when you get, I mean, the talent is still there. When you get like Amy Winehouse or Lady Gaga singing with Tony Bennett, I mean, it's just amazing, those old songs that these young and brilliant artists, they still want to sing them, don't they? They want to sing them pure in their own voices, not overproduced.
Yes, what a tragedy to lose Amy Winehouse, who really, I think, really could have been long-term a major force. There was just a warmth and an organic sound. She was an old soul. She got it. You know, she got it. And Lady Gaga gets it. It shocked me when she did that first duet with Tony Bennett. I watched it on PBS, and I was blown away. This is not some little Pop-Tart who kind of likes the music and was going to, you know, force herself on us. I heard the person who knew the music as well as perhaps Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan and other great singers of the day. She really gets it. And that's why she and Tony Bennett now are about to release an entire album of duets.
Well, and you mentioned one of the networks, and I want to tell folks that, I mean, you've been everywhere on these, on the big networks, the big stages. CNN's had you, NBC, BBC, the Boston Pops. I mean, that must be incredible to get to sing the places that you get to sing.
You know, I never take it for granted. I'm still a little kid who hoped someday he could get up on a stage and sing in front of people. You know, there's a part of me that still has that wonderment and excitement, and I'm never jaded about it. And certainly a place like the Boston Pops, you know, I grew up in Connecticut, so that's our neighborhood. You know, the world knows about the Boston Pops, but it really is our neighborhood orchestra. When you think about New England, it is the single most prominent orchestra up there. And to work with Keith Lockhart and the Boston Pops, I've done 7 shows with them. It looks like I may be going back. Of all the performances I've done, I think probably the first couple that I did with the Boston Pops had me the most nervous on stage. And it takes a lot to kind of rattle me. I'm able to kind of stay centered and focus and move ahead. And I was getting a little weak at the knees. But, yes, I'm very fortunate. I get to travel and work with some very talented people and go to some places that, you know, I only read about as a kid.
Well, and some of us grew up with the Boston Pops and bringing an eclectic mix of great music to us, and to even think about having somebody that played, that sang at the Boston Pops here in town, that's just pretty neat. That's just a lot of fun for us.
Well, you know, I spend a lot of time in what other people refer to as flyover country. I call it drive-to country. I've performed a lot throughout the Midwest. Several years ago, I performed 40-show tour of the Midwest, which did include some spots in your neck of the woods, not Knoxville in particular, but, you know, we covered a lot of the states. I just came off a 3-week tour, which is our first leg for the 2014-2015 tour that my 10-piece band and I are doing, which was more southern Midwest, south Midwest. We were in Arkansas, Missouri, and Louisiana, and Texas, and Kansas. And you know, I find that people in the Midwest are very appreciative. There's a gentility about them. There's just a certain quality about Midwestern folks that I find very endearing. I grew up in a small town. I'm not a city slicker. I grew up in a small town on our family farm. We were commercial vegetable farmers. And so I totally relate to people who know what it's like to have dirt under your feet. you know, and to live just an honest, simple life. And so for us, when we come to a place like Knoxville, to us, it's Carnegie Hall. We want to blow the roof off the place.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Steve Lippia.
We're lucky enough to have some very fine choirs around here. And in our schools, there's some very, very fine choirs and singers. Do you have any advice to participate to the young people that are singing?
Yes, sing a lot. It's an interesting process, growth. You know, there are times when I performed, I remember I performed with the Alabama Symphony, and two or three years later, it was in Des Moines. I performed with the Des Moines Symphony on New Year's, and the same administrator from the Alabama Symphony, for reasons I still don't know, happened to be in Des Moines on New Year's. I don't know if he had family there. And he came to my show unannounced. There he was. And after the show, he's in the lobby, and he looked at me kind of with a spooky look, and he says, "I'm sorry, but I can't believe how, I mean, I liked what you did when you were in Alabama, but wow, you have grown." And so to young singers, there's a process of growth, and you don't even know when it's happening a lot of times. In other words, you could sing 10, 20, 30 times and feel like you're the same person who sang 10 or 20 or 30 shows ago, but there's something going on in the brain that you may not even recognize. There is some knowledge, some evolution, some growth that happens, even if it's subconsciously. And then maybe the 31st show, you go, "Wow, I just did that. That was cool. I'd never done that before." So for singers, you know, the way to become a better singer is to sing and to listen to other great singers, whether you're singing choral music or whether you're singing opera or whether you're singing country music. Learn from others, not so much to copy, but to borrow from them. I mean, we don't live in a vacuum. All of us build our knowledge and our careers on the shoulders of others that came before us. So it's important to... The other thing is, and I was just talking with a friend of mine who late in life has decided he wants to do some singing. So he's one of those odd people that never pursued it. And I told him that it's important that he tape himself, even with just a little cheap tape player, to tape himself and then listen afterwards, because what you think you sound like based on your inside voice, you know, the voice in your head that you're hearing when you're singing, can be quite different from what people are hearing. And it's all about fire, energy. And I always say this from time to time, that I'm in the energy business. Anybody who's a performer transmits energy. And so does the audience. They transmit it back, depending on what kind of energy you're transmitting as a performer. And you could do a very pretty, nice performance, but not have a lot of energy. And it doesn't have to be speed or volume to create energy, but there's a kind of an underlying edge or a edge of your seat, a fire that can come through. Whether if something is very melancholy, well, it needs to be extremely melancholic. If it's something is very emotional, you need to really reach in and be emotional. And if you're articulating certain sounds, you need to over-articulate them to project that energy across a room, sometimes through TV airwaves to somebody's TV in their living room. So you have to consider, are you in a little coffee house? Are you in a loud bar where there's sports TVs playing over your head? Are you in a concert hall with 3,000 people? And you need to adjust your energy to those spaces. And you need to reach, it's about reaching people. And there are many tangible and intangible ways of doing that. And that only comes from doing 1,001 performances or 2,002. And you start to get it if you really listen and pay attention.
Well, wonderful. Thank you. And I'll look forward to meeting you on November 6th.
Oh, it would be a pleasure to meet you as well. So just to let you know, we're going to have a real rockin' 10-piece band. There's going to be some, you know, romantic and elegant music, but there's going to be some fire on that stage. A lot of energy. This isn't, you know, your grandma's music, although she'll recognize it. This is music for, you know, all generations. And with a live 10-piece band, we'll bring this music to life on stage. And my music director, the gentleman conducting, is Steve Sigmund, a wonderful trombonist and conductor, and he performed for 17 years around the world with Ray Charles and his orchestra.
That's life. And that's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I say that's life. And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.